right. And
go get right.
First and shout.
Yeah, that's absolutely right. So what do? When I read the word, right? Because I'm a reader of the word. I long for the word, for the meat of the word. And I'm constantly doing what he does too, and he does too, and he does too. And I don't know y'all, but I know my people, right? And I know they're constantly all up in the word, right? Because that's how you check the spirit, number one, right? Oh, I'm hearing the Holy Spirit. Are you sure? Well, go check it and make sure it's in the word. And it'll all line up eventually. But sometimes I'd get before the Lord, I'm in the word, and I'd say, Lord, okay, so today I got chapter 10, and I'm going here. And sometimes I'm sitting here, same as him, you know, 3, 4, 5, 6 hours, and it's just, boom, it's just, you're in the secret place. Man, it's so fantastic. And I don't know if anybody has ever read the word. Has anyone ever read the word and you feel full, like if you just went to a restaurant and you're like, man, I can't, I just gotta go home because I'm so full, I gotta sit down. Anybody ever been full like that off the word? Isn't that fantastic where you're just like, man, you just ate this delicious 5-course meal. You're just like, wow, I'm just so, you can't almost even go further. And sometimes it'll happen in just a section. And sometimes it happens in a few. It depends on whatever the Lord wants to do. And in that, while you're doing that, I would get before the Lord and I would say, Lord. And sometimes I'm in it and I'd say, Lord. And I read. And I come right here. And I'm like, what did I just read? Let me start over. Distraction. Let me start over. And about the third or fourth time, I say, Lord, I said, you want me here today? And he goes, you can go. He goes, just be with me. He goes, you can read this later, you can catch up later, you can do what you want to do later. Every time I get before the presence of the Lord, I say, Lord, I just, in my heart, I don't even say it anymore. I just feel like he knows it in my heart. I used to say this, Lord, when I'm praying or when I'm praising or when I'm worshiping, Lord, I just want you and I want your intimacy. I want your goodness. I want to know you deeper. And I said, but I don't want to be in performance. I don't want to be in works. I just want you. So if this is a pleasing aroma to you and this is what you need me today, Lord, give me the insight, the wisdom, the desire to continue, the knowing. And if it's not, Lord, and my mind is taking over, if you don't want me to, if I'm trying too hard, when you don't want me to be here and it's okay, release me. Because then all of a sudden now I'm here and, well, I gotta read it again. Oh, text and he called, I gotta read it again. And then Tracy called, I gotta read it again. And I'm trying and I can feel myself. And the Lord doesn't need you to try. You know what he needs you to do? He needs you to die. Whoa. And this is the way. The only way to resurrection life is resurrection death. This is the only way up. You want to go to this place to where all these problems are beneath you as they are? Because they are. But you're battling in your soul right now. You're battling like if they were, then why am I feeling it? Because there's healing that needs to take place. Right? And in this healing, when it takes place and the blood of Jesus comes and heals all these wounds that have happened, next you know it, when something else happens, you walk on top of it and walk on water, and it doesn't affect you for a month or 3 weeks or a week or even a day. You get over it because you got people to help because of all the testimony that you've been through, all the goodness that the Lord has poured upon you. But you can't pour out upon people until your container is completely sewed up, right? It ain't even JB Weld or porcelain glue. It got to be healed by the blood of Jesus. So when he starts pouring in that wine and pouring in that wine and pouring in that wine, well, you're hurt and you're broken, then it's just coming out. I'm talking about broken in your soul. I'm not talking about broken in your spirit. That's two different things. Two different things. Don't misunderstand. But the only way to be able to pour out is to heal up the vessel that the Lord has given you. And as you heal up, he starts pouring more in. Well, I've healed these holes up and healed these holes up. And next you know it, you're overflowing in a place that you didn't even know that you had. Well, I just had something just happen. I know a lady with cancer right now, and you can't even tell that she has cancer because she overflows. She's in the presence, in the abiding, constantly. It blows me away at the strength of some of these people. Blows me away because I wonder, and back in the day I would wonder, I hope and pray that that is, and I believe, I truly believe in my heart of hearts that that would, it is my joy and my pleasure. Our joy and our pleasure is to sing, raise a hallelujah in the presence of my enemies. That he anoints your head with oil, that your cup overflows with the goodness and the mercies of God, chasing you down with goodness all the days of your life. This is the kingdom life. This is the overflow. This is the anointing. And it only starts in the secret place, right? Like he says. And it's not the secret place that most people think about. Because whenever you think of secret place, what do you think of?
Just me and no one else. And intimacy, just really by myself. That's just ours.
How about you, Bam? When you think of secret place?
A place where no one can interrupt you or distract you.
That's good.
And that your attention will be undivided.
Well, I forget that we're in an advanced group here. This is an advanced church. We aren't babies. Babies get scared when they come into this circle. Oh, Lord. Praise the Lord. Here. But just one second. Most people think, and this is fantastic, because that's exactly what we should be, where we should be. Most people, however, and y'all can confirm this in a second, when they think in the secret place, they think in Psalms 91. He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say to the Lord, you are my refuge and my fortress, my God, in him I will trust. He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High. What does it say right after that? Shall abide. You are my refuge and my fortress. What is that? Protection. Right? So this is when people usually, the ones that are, they still got growth to do, they think of protection. Because naturally, this is what a baby needs. Is this true? They need protection from all these things. When you're a baby, this is the way you think of the secret place. I just need protection from all these things that are going on. And man, when you're a warrior and you're a spiritual warrior like these people that I know, it's like, where's that devil at? Let me have him. I got him. Bring him over here. Right? This is the way we walk. It's a whole different secret place. It's a deeper, but one part of a secret place is protection. And the Lord, even when we can't, and in the midst of this man's maturity, and sometimes we are overburdened, overwhelmed with so much, he's still our protector. That never ceased. Even though we've grown and we have a different look on the secret place, the protection doesn't stop. 10,000 will fall at my side and 10,000 at this side. And my right hand is on this side. Left and right. This side's my right hand. And I'm just kidding. Trying to lighten it up a little bit. Everybody's so stoic over here. 1,000 at my side. Oh, sounds good. Praise the Lord. Thank you. They fall at my side and 10,000 in my right hand. But what does it say? It shall not come near me. Only with your eyes shall you look and see the reward of the wicked. And we aren't wicked. We've been saved. We've been glorified. Let me get in. I'll get right to you in just a second. Same thing in Exodus 32:22. When my glory passes, I will put you under the cleft of a rock, protection. Psalm 17:8. Keep me as the apple of your eye, under the shadow of your wings, protection. Psalms 27:5, from in the day of trouble, he will hide me in his shelter, protection. Most people view this from a protection angle, perspective, degree. Hide me in the secret place of your presence from the schemes of men. Conceal them and shelter me from accusing tongues, protection. And on and on and on. But there's a deep... So we have Exodus 33:22, Psalm 17:8, Psalms 27:5, Psalms 31:20. Psalms 32:7. And two more. Psalms 90:1. And Psalms 119:114. Go. Yes,
ma'am. No, this is just to edify the word, speaking about our secret place. You know, and we're studying, we're meeting as a group in our home, and we're studying the book of James. And, you know, James is instructing one of the first Christian communities on Christian maturity, our walk as a Christian, you know, encouraging them and teaching them. And, you know, the first thing that he's talking about in chapter 1 is he tells us, he says, he addresses brothers and sisters, when you have many kinds of troubles, you should be full of joy because we know when we are walking a walk with Christ, when we know that who he is, we know that he is our provider, our healer, our Lord, our Savior, our Shepherd, okay? He says, you know, okay, that these troubles that we're going through test your faith and will give us patience. So when all these things are going on, we remain in the secret place because we already know that no matter what is going on, and this is where we exercise faith, because you can only exercise faith by doing that. You know, there is nothing else that'll give you the strength to know when everything else on the outside is looking, you know, not looking good, you know, it's, you know, the flesh is hurting, our flesh is feeling everything from the world, okay? That secret place, we draw from the Spirit. Okay? And that's where we are able to exercise our faith. You know, and one of the words that the Lord gave me, and I read this in a book about, you know, when you go to a gym the first time, okay, the next day you can hardly move, okay? But if you are dedicated to that gym, okay, you're dedicated because you want to build your muscles, you want to build your strength. No matter how much it hurts, you get out of bed, you go back to that gym again. And it hurts. It hurts to pull those reps, okay? That's how it is when we're exercising faith that still is developing. Okay, we're developing these spiritual muscles, these spiritual faith muscles that the more we exercise them, the stronger they become. You know, so in the beginning, they feel very, very weak. They hurt. It hurts to forgive. It hurts to let it go. It hurts to move on that next day to, you know, because we live in a physical world. There's consequences to everything that we do. You know, there are spiritual laws that when we sin, yes, we are forgiven, but it doesn't mean there's not consequences to these things that happen in our life. You know, so, but because of God's grace and his truth and he's a healer, he promises to us that when we come to that secret place, when we come and we submit to him, he is going to fill us with what we need to get through all of this, you know. And just like the Jewish brothers that were thrown into the fire, you know, they exercised their faith. They said, even, you know, now, you know, are you going to bow, you know, we're going to throw you in the fire. What? We're still going to believe that our God is going to save us. But even if he doesn't, we will not bow. You know, what kind of, where does that faith come from? You know, how strong does that muscle, that spiritual muscle have to be to get to that point? You know, to know that we can walk, you know, and it's like, man, Lord, I want to be like that. Help me to exercise my faith in a way that, man, it doesn't matter what happens. Lord, even if you don't come through on that situation right there, I'm still going to be able to walk through it.
Yeah, that's good, you know? Gilbert.
And man, that is so powerful.
Absolutely.
I just love that word.
That is, and that's exactly the only way you can get that type of strength is in the secret place. It's in the albino. Let me give you one of my favorite. You can't get pregnant in public. It all happens in private. What does that mean? That means that you can't come out and face these giants like Joshua and Caleb, or David or Paul, you know, when he was being persecuted, or all these things that you're going on today. It happens in all the small stuff that you're going through, in your everyday things. This is where your muscle, like he's talking about, is being built. This is where the practice in that. This guy can't be that big without being in the gym, you know, 8 days a week, you know? Just kidding.
Intimacy is, it is that one-on-one that he so long, he longs for, and something we should long for. It's in that true abiding and surrender to the word, though, that he's able and we're able to really, really receive, you know, a revelation if we need it, or illumination if we need it, right? It's that intimacy. We're in that secret place, like you said, it's where no distractions, no one else can touch us, no one else can bother us, but we find that, and in that, we are being built up. We are, you know, we are being poured into to be able to be used elsewhere, but as we're maturing and as we're walking, it should only be. It's just like a, you know, we have these worldly relationships, you know. Me and this brother right here, I mean, it's the time spent. You know, there will be some people in your lives, and I'm sure, you know, many of you have them, that there's things that they know not one other individual ever will know the deepest and ugliest part of you, right? Because we all have it. Can't sit there and say we don't. He knows every single one of us. Every single one of them. You will have that. But even greater than that, the Lord. And when we have that true intimacy, that true longing, that true time spent, man, when we surrender that, that's where we're being built, and that's where he's able to just pour, and we can receive in that chamber. Man, that's where it's so glorious and so magnificent.
But you can't get right with God until you're real with God.
Yeah.
You have to be real. And even, I had a sermon, golly, at the beginning of this year, and it was so hardcore that I scared some people off. It was great. They said, that is too hardcore, you're preaching hard. And I'm like, y'all want soft. I mean, there's 300 churches in Lubbock. Huh? And you know what the sermon was about? It's one of my favorites. It was about Jeremiah, and he was Jeremiah was mad at the Lord, like mad at the Lord. Why did you have me born? I don't even want to be. This is Jeremiah, like he's in the Bible. Like he was a man of God. Like he has his own book. Like, it ain't just some other just one sentence guy. Just because I need a, you know, this is Jeremiah. And he was mad at the Lord. And I'm done with you. And all kinds of stuff. And so, you can be there with the Lord.
Yeah.
I promise he can take it.
Yes, he can.
He can take it. And then it's going to break you. When he immerses you in love, he says, and I love you still. In the midst of all these things that you think that are wrong, as soon as you realize that you don't have to be in control, that I got you, that I knew you from the foundation of the world in your mother's womb, I got you. I know the thoughts that, do you know he thinks in Psalms 139? He says, give me a second here. Psalms 139. Look at that. He says, Lord, you have known me and you search me. You search me and you've known me. You've known me. You know my sitting down and my rising up. You understand my thoughts from afar. Like, they're not even, I don't even have to be this close to you and I already know what you're thinking. You comprehend my path, my lying down. You're acquainted with all my ways. For there is not a word on my tongue, but behold, O Lord, you know it altogether. You have hedged me behind and before. You laid your hand upon me. And such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is so high I cannot attain it. Where can I go to flee from your spirit? Where can I go to flee from your presence? If I ascend to the heavens, you are there. If I make my bed in hell, you are there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the utmost parts of the sea, even there your hand shall lead me and your right hand shall hold me. Surely the darkness shall follow me. And I'm trying to fast forward. For 13. You form my inward parts, and you covered me in my mother's womb. I praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works that my soul. How does your soul know the works of the Lord? Because when you are regenerated truly in your spirit man's on the inside, and it is pressing out of your soul. That's for another sermon. My frame was not hidden from me when I was made. When I was made in secret, because you were made in secret. Your eyes saw my substance being yet ununiform, and your book, they were all written. My days fashioned for me, and yet there was none in there. I'm trying to get to this one part. How precious are your thoughts to me, O God? How great is your sum of them? Check this out. This is one of my favorite verse in this whole chapter. How precious are your thoughts to me, O God? How great is the sum of them? That if I should count his thoughts, right? We're talking about his thoughts. If I should count the amount of thoughts that he speaks, it would be more than the number of the sand on the seas. So if you were to take a trillion, right, and divide that into 24 hours, divide that into 1 hour, 60 minutes, divide that into 60 seconds, how many thoughts does he think of you per second? It's mind-blowing, huh? Yet sometimes we can't even give him, oh, I got 5 minutes for you today, Lord. That's all I got because I'm busy. You know what busy stands for? Buried under Satan's yoke. If you're too busy, you're not in God's will. You're buried under Satan's yoke. Because that's what he wants to do. Well, I got kids. And he knows I got kids. And I got job. And I got this. And I got softball. And I got blah, blah. And everything in the world is going to try to keep you from the Lord. Buried under Satan's yoke. You can never be too busy. Whenever you get out of that busy spot and now you're pressing in is when you can truly find this satisfaction of the secret place. The mystery, just to finish here, in the mystery of the secret place is where most people, or the mystery, what is the secret place, right? The secret, it is secret or hidden, unknown information, mystery kept from others by the possessor. Because the possessor has advantage. Secrets are treasures, and it also triggers power. Because, you know, if you let a secret out, or if I know one of his secrets, I have power over him, right? This secret place has a lot of attributes in it. Secrets are kept in a strong room or vault. They are sources and triggers of power. All over the Word, it talks about the secret and the mystery of the Lord. If y'all want to turn with me to Ephesians 3 and 4. These first two. Ephesians 3 and 4. It says, by referring to this, when you read, you can understand my insight into the mystery of Christ.
3 and 4?
Yes, ma'am. Chapter 3, verse 4. And the next one is going to be Colossians 1:27. Someone want to read Colossians 1:27?
God decided to let his people know this rich and glorious secret which he has for all people. The secret is Christ himself who is in you. He is our only hope for glory. So we continue to preach Christ to each person using all wisdom to warn and teach everyone.
That's
in
good.
Order to bring each one into God's presence as a mature person in Christ.
That's good. That is exactly what we're talking about right there. And I have 6 other verses that talk about the mystery. In 1:19 in Ephesians 1, the mystery made known by his will. But that right there, the mystery of the gospel, the glory of Jesus Christ, the mystery, how, like the lady in Song of Songs was over here trying to get into the mystery of these chambers, but it's really talking about the mystery of a bride, the bride of Christ. How can you get into the secret chambers of the Lord? And what is the mystery of that? Why is Paul looking at us through all these scriptures and saying, what, over and over, the mystery of the gospel, the mystery of the glory of Christ, the mystery. Because it takes a very mature person to understand the chambers. The glory of Christ is so grand, and this is me. This is just me and my opinion and perspective. It's so grand that if you were to go into his chambers today, tomorrow is going to be completely different. Well, how do I know that? Because it says in the Word. It says in the Word that the angels go around 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Again, the angels in Revelation say they go around. This is their job. Their only job is to go around the Lord and sing, holy, 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 holy. Another version, holy, holy, holy are you, God Almighty. Holy, 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 holy. As they praise the Lord 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. This is all that they do. Even better yet, I heard, which is now mine. Sorry. That each time that, because I've used it more than 3 times. So once it's 3 times is up, striked out, it's now it's mine. It's become of me. The holy, yes, thank you. Every time that they're singing holy, 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 God is so grand and so great, so magnificent, so marvelous, and every other adjective Webster can come up with. And every time they sing, there's a new revelation of Christ. Holy, 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 holy. Every single time they say the word, Christ is so beyond us. So when I think of that in the secret place, when we go into the secret place this time looking for love, the next time we come in looking for joy, the next time we come in looking for peace, the next time we come into the secret place and we're looking for love and peace, and you leave with joy, and every time you arrive into the secret place in maturity, it's only maturity in which you can get there, because it's only the mature that want to really eat the meat and say, Lord, how do I get in there, right? And in which you grow, and all of a sudden you're this warrior king that moves and you walk, and there are ripples in the spiritual atmosphere. This is who we are, a peculiar people. That when we move, there are ripples. When I walk in the store, and I'm not saying this because I'm some hottie cartel guy. I was watching The Marksman last night with Nicholas, so that just popped in my head. And it's about the cartels, and they're trying to kill this little boy. And it's a PG-13, so praise the Lord. Only had like 2 cuss words in it. It's a Nick, and because I don't watch rated R, and it's all these cartel guys, and this cartel guy walks into the store, right? And all of a sudden everybody's, ooh, ooh, he's mean and bad. They sure did. And that's exactly what happens. You see one of them type of dudes, you can feel what? The aura. You can feel the presence of fear and intimidation and pride. You can feel one of them. Guess what else you can feel, dadgummit? You can feel a man or a woman of God too. They, the demons, know it and they tremble at the name of Jesus. Bye. Sometimes I just feel like going up to one of these people in the world and just going, boo. Because this is who we are, right? We change. Yeah, I ain't never been that close to him in my life. I just wanted to say that. That was funny. And you change the atmosphere when you walk into the room. Again, the mystery of Christ is how do you get in there, right? We're going to have to start wrapping up because Tracy wants me to be done at 12. Man.
Eric, the mystery of the night candle.
Go ahead.
And
Book of Mysteries?
Yeah. Yeah, the mystery of the night candle. Two things just to edify what brother's talking about right here. You know, Jesus tells parables in the story about the kingdom, what the kingdom of heaven's like. And why does he speak in mysteries? How come he doesn't just come out and just say in plain English? You know? And you know, he's explaining to his disciples why he doesn't do that. And he's explaining to him because, you know, so many times we, in the stories, you hear, you can see everyone hearing his stories, but responding in the flesh to it. You know, even Nicodemus, who heard Jesus say, you know, you must be born again. You know, when do I go back into my mother's womb? You know, he's thinking, I mean, that is all of the flesh. You know, he's not hearing anything spiritual out of the story, you know, that Jesus needs to explain to him. You know, Jesus, right here in Mark 4:10, he just got done telling the story about planting seed. And he's explaining to them because, you know, they're still not really grasping what does this have to do with heaven, the kingdom of heaven. And he says, you can know the secret about the kingdom of heaven. Jesus said, you can know the secret about the kingdom of God, but to other people, I will tell everything using stories so that they will look and look, but they will not learn. They will not listen and listen. No, they will listen and listen, but they will not understand. If they did learn and understand, they would come back to me and be forgiven.
Is that Matthew 13?
This is Mark 4.
It's in, okay.
Yeah, in Mark 4. And, you know, I've had to really kind of come to an understanding of this because not everybody's going to heaven. You know, not everybody hears the call of the Lord and follows him. Not everybody's name is written in the book of life. You know, God has called and chosen. You know, those of us that have been called and chosen by the Lord and our names are written in the book of life, okay, we have there's a responsibility as a follower of Christ. And, you know, we were talking about this because these mysteries are given and we are basically instructed to seek them out, to find this treasure that has been hidden somewhere. And it's not going to be found by not searching for it. You know, so we have, you know, there's a search in it, you know. It's a daily thing, it's a daily walk, you know, and everything about walking as a Christian, you know, is brought together. It's like connecting all the dots as we start reading the Bible. All these dots start connecting, okay, now I see how praying has an effect. Now I see how fellowshipping, you know, now I see how exercising my faith comes in together, you know. So it's not just one thing. It's not just doing this. It's not just doing this. You know, we start to see how all of them combined together starts to come complete us. You know, in so many areas in the book, it talks about being complete, being whole, being perfect, you know, reaching a maturity to the fullness of Christ. You know, what does that mean? You know, how do I get there? You know, it's a journey, it's a progress, you know, it's that pilgrim's progress, you know, and so there's a growth, and you know, you can look back and see, well, I'm not where I used to be. I'm not where I want to be, but I'm not where I used to be, you know? And each day, you know, is another day that we can search for that secret place. We can search for that treasure that's been hidden. You know, we can search for the love of Christ, you know, and we seek it, you know, every single day. And man, I, you know, that's something that the Lord's really just been pointing to my heart, you know? Because you don't have to, you know, just because you don't know everything about the Bible, you don't know where to find all the scriptures, you don't know, you know, you don't have to know all that things to follow Christ, to love Him, to be able to share that with somebody else. You know, you can exercise that in a way where just in that secret place, you know, just by showing love to somebody else, by forgiving them, you know, one little thing that we can do, you know, to exercise that will strengthen us.
Yes, absolutely. And in Matthew 13, it has the same parable. And let me, and he's absolutely right. Not everybody is going to heaven. And even more so, man, it's some people that you think are going probably aren't going. And it's because there's so many salvations because of the what's called the evangelical movement that just happened in the last 100, maybe 150 years. There's an evangelical movement that happened, and would it make everybody raise their hands? And this is the way people are taught, you know, just say this prayer and you're good to go. And people are looking for a solution. They're not looking for a savior. They're looking for a solution to the divorce, a solution to this, a solution to that. They're not looking for a savior. And so all of a sudden, they're in works. And oh, well, I can ask Jesus in. So then why does it say in, why, right here, in just to finish this little last part of the satisfaction of the secret place, it says, draw me. He says, she's telling the king, or the bride is telling Christ, draw me. Draw me unto you. It says in John 6 and 44, the Father draws. In Jeremiah 31 and 3, the Son draws. In Hebrew, in Hosea 11, 4, and John 12 and 32, they all draw. The Holy Spirit draws those to Him. So in this evangelical movement where people are just doing all these things, all of a sudden they're reciting a prayer. Their heart's really not in it. Their emotions are in it. Your soul's in it. And this is why all of a sudden there's all these characteristics of all these Christians walking around and all this heathenism. Well, I thought you were a Christian and you're still doing all these things. A real Christian turns from their wicked ways, and there is fruit and there is measurable results. A true Christian will turn, not about perfection, a true Christian turns and all of a sudden, boom, I'm never the same. How can a person, explain to me this, if there was a person sitting, and I heard this, I've heard it put two or three ways. Let's say I have Gil Ladon coming over here to me, and I'm going to, I need you to come in and preach tomorrow. And all of a sudden, Ladon doesn't have a car because it broke, and he's taking the bus, and all of a sudden he's fixing to take this bus, and he's talking to somebody else. And next you know it, he ends up walking on the side of the road, and he trips on the curb, and he falls in front right when the bus is coming. He gets supposedly. Gets hit by the bus, right? And then he comes and tells me, and he comes and runs late, and he's running late, and he comes to me and says, hey, Eric, he goes, I just got hit by a bus, and that's why I'm running late. Would y'all believe him? That you got hit by a bus, and you're running late. Or I got hit by a train, my car got hit by a train, and it flipped, and it's way over here, and it, everything blew up, and there was a big old fire, and all the 7 fire departments all came, and I was running late. That's why I'm running late. Or or let's say you have a guy who said, I used to be a skydiver, and all of a sudden, man, one day my skydive, my parachute didn't even open. And it came, and I went all the way to the ground, and I bounced, boom, all the way up. I bounced like 30 feet in the air and came back down. And you survived? Oh, yeah, you know, it's what I do. See, there is nothing on this earth as great and as glorious, as powerful, as majestic, as life-changing, as grand as God. But you're telling me, which is grander than all God, grander than all these situations combined times infinity, the God who spoke light into the universe, who knows all the stars by name, knows every single hair on your head. You're telling me that we take all these situations combined, multiply times infinity, and you went to church and had an encounter with God and nothing changed? Because if you fall off that dead gum airplane and hit, something's gonna hit, change. You get hit by a bus, you get hit by a train, you get hit with cancer. Something changes, and we're going to multiply all that times infinity, and you say you had an encounter with God and you're still the same? People didn't have an encounter with God. It was a solical salvation is what it's called, and that's why you have all these people running around, you know, saying, oh, I've been saved. Well, then why aren't you fully passionate and devoted for the Lord? Because if you had such an encounter, such a life-changing, true encounter, then your heart and everything else would have changed and your soul would have followed suit. But it doesn't happen. Why? Because the Father draws. You couldn't go if you wanted to. He draws you. This is what isn't taught. The Holy Spirit draws you. This is why the gospel is preached. The gospel is preached not so you can get another token on your belt and say, look, man, I got 30 salvations today. I mean, I got 30,000 salvations. That's nothing to do with nothing. You don't do it anyway. It's the glory of God that you preach the gospel. The Holy Spirit fell and it convicted them of their sin so grandly that they bow. They bow and say, I can't do nothing. The magnitude of God and His holiness, as we were singing, the magnitude of God came and interrupted your life and your sin nature. And when that happens, you give. You say, mercy, uncle, I'm done. I'm wrecked. I don't even need nothing. I just need your salvation. That's all I need. And I'm good for the rest of forever. I don't even need any extra blessings. This is true salvation. Because He draws you at the preaching of His word. The Holy Spirit goes and convicts. And in that conviction, you don't ask. Oh, just go ahead and come in all nonchalantly. Oh, would you like to come over, brother? No, it's a surrender. You have just encountered the glory of God to such an extent that you have no choice. And it's like, Lord, I surrender. That is the choice you truly have after He draws you. That's why He calls it blasphemy, the unforgivable sin. How do you justify that scripture with all the other scriptures? It's because the blasphemy for someone to go before the throne of God and you had this. I was watching Felix Baumgartner the other day, the guy that has the world record for parachute, 127 miles high, right? And he fell to earth for like 10 minutes. Not for 1 minute, normal parachuting for 10 minutes. And just, can you imagine just flying? You just flying. His heart raced at 140 beats a minute for like almost the whole time, right? Can you imagine going from there like Satan and falling on the earth and you're perfectly fine? This doesn't happen. So for you to encounter God and He truly presents Himself to you in all of His majesty and glory and you say no. Can't imagine. You say no. He comes and He brings His Son before you as a slaughtered lamb, and He gives you a revelation of who He is. and you say no. This is the difference, because he draws you just like the bride of Christ draws. I mean, the king drew the bride. The king, Christ draws. He says, draw me unto your chambers. So how do you, I'm getting ahead of myself for next week, but how do you ask the Lord, draw me. I want to go. Please, Lord, I want to be in these places. Just to go back to where he was, they asked him, they said, the disciples asked him, why do you speak in parables? And he replied to them, to you it has been given to know the secrets and the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but it has not been given to them. I drew you. I didn't draw them. Or I came to them and they said no. This is why you know. This is why you're here. Because he drew you to something deeper, something greater. Because you're tired of the same old, same old. I need to go deeper. I am ready to put on my armor. I'm ready. Actually, even before you even put on your armor, you got to die. Yeah, I'm done, Lord. Wreck me. I'm done with anything and everything. I know I want this job. I don't care about the job. I know I'm sick. I don't care about sickness. I know my son is in a bad spot. I don't care. All I want is you, Lord. Because if the cancer can see Jesus, what happens? It's vanished. If the finances see Jesus, what happens? You're rich. If the finances see, if your son comes before you and he's all drugged up and he sees the glory of God in you, what happens to your son? See, God wants to use each and every single one of you for his glory. But he can't until you die. Until you're done with yourself. And I'm all in, Lord. I'm not tippy-toeing anymore. Amen.
As you're walking, as you are seeking, searching, digging, going deeper, and you find yourself in surrender, and you want that secret place, and you're going to your secret place. Something that will just put a bomb in you. This has been, they always say, there should be something. Most people, as you're walking, you have a scripture. Or a few, in the season of which you're in. I don't know if you guys have one, but as we're talking about this, and you're talking about being in that secret place, something that was pointed out to me, is in Psalms 39, the last part of it, 23 and 24. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. Point out anything in me that offends you, and lead me along the path of everlasting life. So when you're in that secret place, and you're ready, and you're truly wanting to surrender, I highly recommend going, speaking that and even praying that, because he is so faithful.
Amen.
And as the word says, he'll never forsake us. So, highly recommend saying that prayer and be ready. Be ready.
God has to be faith. So whenever you go and surrender. This is the regeneration in Adam, and your spirit man is reborn. Boom, Nicodemus, right? Not to say that you don't struggle in your soul. That's something different. I'm talking about a regeneration of spirit. Now you have the choice. Now that you have the capacity to say, man, I want you, I need you, I love you, and all these things, and I want to pursue and pursue and pursue. It's because the spirit inside you has been filled by the Holy Spirit, right? You've been completely regenerated. And when that happens, now you have God living inside you, right? The third temple. He is the temple. You are his temple. And so when God the Father is looking at the intercession of Jesus Christ, because he's interceding for you, and the Father is looking at Christ, and Christ is looking at the Spirit in you, praying, groaning through you for the things that you want to be healed in your soul, and you can't, because your soul is so broken that you can't even pray. It says that he is faithful to himself because they are one. So God, when you can't, he will. Whew. That's fantastic. And that is the hope of glory, that we can't, that we don't. They asked me at KT, and I didn't ever finish the sentence. They said, what did you do to become pastor and become ministry and do all these things that you're doing? And my answer was a pleasant nothing. I didn't even do anything. I didn't have to try. I didn't have to try for this. They gave it to us for free. When you're in the presence and you're in the abiding, there's nothing that you need to do. You just be still and know, I will fight your battles. But you got to get and hide in him. Otherwise, you're affected. Right? Let's pray.